Welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Rita Politan. Our topic today is Unlimited Ideas Equals Infinite Supply. And with me now to explore this topic is Christian Science practitioner Mark Unger. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, this year, we saw a record number of people applying for unemployment because of the pandemic. And even though there's some improvement with things opening up, many people still don't have the necessary funds to meet all their needs. So what I'd like to do is begin by asking you, what have you found from your study and practice of Christian Science that would help solve this situation?
You know, first of all, you know, my heart goes out to everybody that is struggling, I have to say. But you know, Rita, with everything in our lives, it seems that we have basically two choices as to how we approach our problems, solve our problems. And one choice is to try to deal with things from a merely material, limited, or human approach. And with this approach, we're dependent on ourselves, our own limited intelligence and resources. And we are limited in what ideas or thoughts or options we may come up with. You know, and that can be very stressful and not very successful. So the other choice, which I have found to be a way better and always successful way, is a spiritual approach. Reaching out to the creator of the universe, the creator of our lives, to discover what this creator, we call God, is doing for us and really actually has already done for us. All the abundance of God's goodness meeting every single human need is right at hand if we are willing to just look beyond ourselves to our creator. You know, our creator has for us unlimited ideas for how to move forward in any situation to find abundant good, abundance of supply of whatever is needed. And that makes me think of a proverb, part of the wisdom literature in the Bible, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And you know, Rita, with the first choice, we end up trying to really kind of play God, I think, or be God rather than letting God be God to us. After all, you know, he created us and continues to care for his creation.
I think you're right, Mark. It's clear that when we're trying to figure it out all by ourselves, you know, that's hard. As you say, it's us trying to be the creator or God. So then, how do we go about letting God be God?
Well, I have found that the Bible can help us with that. The Bible is full of examples of people turning to God in desperate situations and being taken care of in ways that go beyond the merely human way of thinking about things. And Jesus, I love the way he started his three-year ministry. He came out and said, according to the Bible, the first thing he really started preaching was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So he knew, and I think, you know, other prophets and holy men knew that this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, was at hand. Now he said, "Repent." So I think he was saying, the kingdom of heaven is actually right here. But in order to see it, in order to experience it, you need to repent. And repent, the Greek word for repent, metaneo, it means to change your mind for the better. That's what it means. So he was saying, if you want to see this kingdom, that God is right here taking care of everything, you need to change your mind for the better. And that's what I guess I was talking about at first, is we can just have a completely human approach to our problems, or we can change our mind and look to God, look to this spiritual universe. And God, as the Bible tells us, is spirit. Therefore, we are spiritual. And so what this tells us is that in terms of this financial issue and economic issue is that there is a divine economy, God's economy, which is abundant. There's plenty for all. To our limited view, there's just this human economy that gets changed by anything, by a pandemic, by changing laws, by changing leaders. The human economy can go all over the place. And yet, right in the middle of this, there is this kingdom of heaven. There is this divine, stable economy where the way it works is that there's God and He's giving His children everything they need every moment. But as Jesus said, we need to repent. We need to change the way we think in order to see this more spiritual view. And part of changing the way we think is to understand that we are spiritual creations of God, as Genesis tells us, we're made in the image and likeness of God. So we have all that God gives. In fact, that makes me think of a reminiscence from the book We Knew Mary Baker Eddy, expanded volume on page 296, by a woman who told about what Mary Baker Eddy said when she was struggling with financial issues when she first started this worldwide church, this worldwide Christian Science movement. And she did this in the 1800s. But she said, when first establishing this cause, I recall her saying, I needed money, but I have now learned that God is with me, that He gives me everything, and I cannot lack. A little later, she added, as I recollect, she says, when you stand before a mirror and look at your reflection, it is the same as the original. Now you are God's reflection. If His hands are full, your hands are full. If you image Him, you cannot know lack. I have learned now that He does give us everything. That's what she said. And I have to say, I have learned now too, that He does give us everything and more, it seems like.
Well, Mark, you talk like you've experienced this. So can you share an experience that you had where you really saw that God provided for you?
Well, Rita, you know, actually, I could talk all day about experiences where, you know, I turned to God and He just came up with these solutions that were far beyond what I could have imagined. But, you know, I'm thinking of one that I really think illustrates the difference between like human will and planning and turning to God to do His will and see His plan. And I think this particular experience also illustrates how it can work as we start moving down this road of spiritual discovery and learning to turn to God and depend on God. We don't always get it right the first try. You know, there can be some trial and error in the process of learning, and that's to be expected, really. But in the end, we can find the solutions we need and feel the God-given blessings and learn more about how to turn to God and how to quit getting in the way, which is what we seem to so often do with our limited thinking and human will. But, you know, even that's okay, because God is such love that He will always guide us along, like a loving shepherd does with his sheep. But the experience was many years ago. My wife and I were living in the country, and the idea came to us to move back into the city because we felt like we could do more. We could help people more. We could be more in touch with what was going on. And so it felt like a God-impelled idea. And so we put up our house for sale. And month after month went by and nothing. And so, you know, after many months went by, both of us actually had to reach out to God and say, okay, you know, there was this idea to move, but nothing seems to be happening. What is it that we need to know? What ideas do you have that we're maybe missing here? And as we prayed, we remembered that we had planned, before we decided to sell, we had planned to paint the house, put some shutters on the outside, and so forth. And once we decided to sell the house, we just stopped. And as we were praying about this and listening, it seemed like that didn't make sense to us in this divine economy that I'm talking about, where there's nothing but abundance, there's just all good. And why shouldn't we move forward with this idea we had to paint the house and bless the people that were coming, instead of thinking in more of a human economy sense where, you know, we only have so much. I mean, we didn't have much money at the time, and, you know, to buy the paint and to buy the shutters, and, you know, it's going to cost us money, and there's only a limited amount of it, and so maybe we need to hold back. Well, that's not the right approach. God is, again, unlimited. It's about blessing. It's about giving. It's about drawing on an unlimited resource. So we realized, okay, I guess we need to move forward and not just stop the progress of our lives, but to keep moving forward with these ideas that we're getting. So we went ahead and painted the house, and it was very fascinating because this house had been on the market for over a year now. When I painted the last door, the very next day, we got two offers and we sold the house.
Wow.
And I felt like that was a divine sign. I mean, that was incredible. And that's actually not the whole story. So the next part was we were going to move into the city, as I said. So now we had a couple months to do that. This is where you learn your lessons, because I started out with a little bit of human will. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm happy to live on the north side or the south side of the city, but I don't want to live in the valley. She was okay with that. So we started looking at houses, and we must have looked at 50 houses, which is...
That's a lot of houses.
That's a lot of houses. And especially if God is guiding you, why would you have to look at that many houses? And yet we still didn't find anything. So it caused me to go to God and vow to go to God, and mainly me, because I was the one who said, I only want to live on the north or south side. And I asked God, you know, what do I need to know? And it came pretty clear to me that I had outlined this whole thing. I wasn't leaving it up to God. I was thinking I knew best. And so I realized through my prayer that day that I needed to let go and let God. Just let God put us where we need the best place for us and trust that. Like we were talking about, the people in the Bible did, like Jesus did, like the prophet, they trusted God. So I went to my wife and I said, you know what? I realize that was a mistake for me to outline that way and say, I only want to live in certain places. I'm willing to live anywhere, actually in any town, wherever. It's up to God. We got to leave it up to God. And of course, she was happy about that. Now, so a lot of weeks had gone by. As I said, we looked at a lot of houses, didn't find anything. Now, this happened again, Rita. This was amazing. The very next day, once I turned and got this idea, the right idea from God, and opened myself up to God, trusted God, my father gives me a call that day, and he told me about his experience. He had a very interesting experience. He said, you know, I was heading downtown, and from his house to downtown is south. But he said, I found myself driving north, which I couldn't figure out why I was going north since I was headed south. But he thought, as he was driving down these streets, he drove by a restaurant in the area. And he was a restaurant owner, so he knew most of the owners in town, and he knew this restaurant had just been purchased by a new owner, and he thought, well, since I'm going by here, let me stop in and see if the owner's here, and I'd like to meet him and, you know, have a little chat with him. So he did, and it ended up that he was calling me to tell me that this owner of this restaurant also had a house for sale in the valley, that they had been trying to sell it, and now they've taken it off the market because they couldn't sell it. So anyway, we went and looked at the house the next day. And when we had looked at those 50 houses, of course, when you're looking at houses like that, you're sort of formulating like the right house for you, because you're seeing what you like about houses, you're seeing what you don't like. So we had sort of formed this picture of what the perfect house for us would be at that point. We walked into this house. It was the perfect setup. It was perfect. And so we ended up buying it. Another little detail was that we had found out that over that last year, they had put so much improvements and so much money into this house during that year. During that year when we were stopping and not putting improvements in our house, you know, and then it came to us to go ahead and keep doing our improvements. God was preparing that house for us and was preparing our house for somebody else. And that's the way God works. It's just always abundant. Everybody's blessed. It's that divine, unlimited economy that we want to look to from a spiritual perspective, that the kingdom of heaven, harmony, goodness, abundance is always at hand. And that reminds me of just one thing that Jesus said. He said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
I love that, Mark. You know, that also makes me think of something that Mary Baker Eddy said in one of her writings. God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn, they give you daily supplies. And the thing I really love about that is because it's what you did. You stopped outlining and you listened, and the ideas came. And what's interesting, too, is like with your dad, if somebody needs to play a role in it, you'll get the ideas, whether it's, you know, from your father or from directly from God, or you will get the ideas you need. And then the quote goes on later and says, never ask for tomorrow. It is enough that divine love is an ever-present help. And if you wait, never doubting, you will have all you need every moment. So it's just, I love this idea that it's the ideas, and those ideas are always there. And it's that, just that moment you stop, you turn to God, and you listen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I love this, if you wait, never doubting.
That's the hard part.
That can be the hard part. But there again, you go back to the Bible. It has these stories that inspire us to just never doubt. And like I said, that even if we mess up, you know, as we're learning to listen to God, we're not going to do it always exactly the right way every time. We're going to slip in a little human will in there, a little maybe selfishness, a little limitation. And God will show us that, you know, here, you just need to look at this a little differently.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It's like we can't mess up, really.
Well, then tell me a few other things that might get in our way. Let's say maybe there's jealousy. Maybe you see that other people have things that you want. Or sometimes you may even feel like maybe you're not good enough. You don't deserve to have the good you want. What are some of the things that stop us then from seeing this abundant life that Jesus talked about, this good that God is constantly giving us?
Well, first of all, we do deserve all good. Why can I say that, and why does that actually make much sense? Is we are God's precious children. And if you think about it, in the human scene, you know, wouldn't any one of us do just anything we could for our children?
Absolutely.
You know, I don't think that we're better than God. Well, God loves his children at least as much, and certainly, as I've discovered, more than a human parent can. And this is God we're talking about. So he can provide us with whatever we need anytime we need it. So we do deserve all good. As far as thinking about, you know, gosh, being jealous or envious of what somebody else has, again, I think that would be such a human limited way of looking at things. I mean, you know, Jesus was certainly not rich by the world's definition of rich, having a lot of material things, yet he was undoubtedly the richest man that was ever on this planet. His relationship with God was rich. And I consider my relationship with God as rich, riches, something that no one could ever take away. I know that God will always be here for me and for everyone, will always take care of every need abundantly. I couldn't possibly be jealous of anyone and their riches, which actually material riches could be gone in a minute. You know, those kind of worldly riches can cause people much misery, as we've all seen time and time again with mm-hmm. people who are rich. So mm-hmm. again, if we look at things from a spiritual perspective, our relationship with this Almighty God, the comfort that brings, the peace that brings, the contentment that brings, the satisfaction that brings, and you know, on top of it, the abundance of good. Again, using the Bible to make the spiritual choice of how we look at things, we find much inspiration and such wisdom on this question from something that Timothy wrote, I think, in the New Testament. He said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Boy, he had it, I just think, right on. He got it.
Mm-hmm. And you know something that I've learned over the years too, Mark, is that, you know, we each have our own individual good, our unique good, because we're unique to God. And so, you know, sometimes you think about, well, there's only one pie and everybody's trying to get a slice of the pie. But I've learned we all get our own individual pie. We get the whole pie. And in fact, what is our good, and it's not necessarily somebody else's good. And what is somebody else's good is not really, you know, uniquely for us. So in a way, understanding that what God is giving each one of us is uniquely and directly for us as his unique expression, then you're not wanting what somebody else has.
Yeah, right, Rita. And see, that's looking at this divine economy. And that's how the divine economy, in my mind, is set up. God's economy, everybody has abundance. God doesn't take from one, give to the other. And I think that's illustrated, frankly, in that's what I shared about the house that we found. Mm-hmm. They couldn't sell the house.
Right.
They tried for months. They couldn't sell it. Apparently, it was our house. You know, God is, I agree, I've lived my life this way, and it's been so wonderful when we start getting into this idea of competition. There's only so much, and we have to compete for it. Again, that's a very human, limited view of things. But if we realize, it's always worked out. I mean, if we want a particular job, it's either our job right now, or it's not. It's somebody else's job.
Right.
And we wouldn't want to be doing somebody else's job. We want our job, the job that God has that's exactly tailored for us at this moment in time to learn whatever we need to learn, to be in contact with whoever we need to be in contact with, and to be able to share our talents and bless. I've just found that to always be the case.
Always be the case. And in fact, you know, when you think about these times now when there's so many people out of work and it seems like, you know, everything's, you know, closing and not reopening again, and so many people are looking for the same, you know, type of work or jobs, that if we go to that, take that spiritual choice you're talking about, that choice to know that God is infinite and, you know, that is not dependent on the material, you know, circumstances, and is 100% providing purpose and joy and supply for each one of us uniquely, individually, then that will open up, I think, opportunities for everyone.
That's exactly right. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. You know, the kingdom of heaven, abundance, it's at hand. It's here. But you got to change the way you think. And see, that's the problem is if we look at the news or even the way we've been educated on the human scene, like you say, there's only a pie. And when you start cutting pieces out, there's not enough for everybody necessarily. See, Jesus completely saw this concept of the divine economy, God's economy, where there's just abundance, there's just plenty. And it really is what you were saying earlier. It's about ideas. Think about when he was, he had the 5,000 plus people that had been with him for 3 days. He was preaching and he said, we got to feed these people. And the disciples said, well, how in the world are we going to do that? And he said, well, what do you have? And they said, you know, a few fishes and a couple loaves of bread. And they said, but, you know, there's no way. I mean, how are we going to feed 5,000 people with this? But you see, Jesus understood that what blesses one blesses all. And Mary Baker Eddy really brought that out in her book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, where she really explains so well Jesus' teachings and also makes clear about this abundance of God. But she said this. She said, in the scientific relation of God to man, we find that whatever blesses one blesses all, as Jesus showed with the loaves and the fishes. Spirit, not matter, being the source of supply. So everyone could be fed. God wasn't going to ever give us enough just to feed a few. He's going to feed everybody, give everybody the good that they deserve as his children. And Jesus knew that. He knew there was a whole different ball game going on here, a whole different way of looking at things. He knew. And what did he do? He looked to God and gave God thanks after he had the loaves and the fishes. He gave God thanks. He was thanking God for taking care of everybody because he knew God would. And of course, he told the disciples to distribute the food to all these 5,000 plus people, and everybody had plenty to eat. And as we know in the story, there were 12 baskets left over that he had them gather up. So there is infinite supply. There's infinite good. But we have to change the way we think from the human limited to a more unlimited, bountiful, divine economy where God is in control.
Well, then, Mark, where can people go to find this spiritual perspective, to understand God better and their relationship to God better, and really what the spiritual laws of the universe are? Where can they go to find this?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Rita. As I mentioned, the Bible, I mean, it's all there. We see example after example of how people were relying on this God that is spirit, this God that is love. It's obviously a spiritual approach. So the Bible really contains the inspiration that we need. And just to mention a few examples, there's the whole wonderful story in Genesis of God using Joseph to take care of Egypt and all the surrounding countries in a time of famine. There's the example in Exodus of God taking care of the children of Israel during their 40 years in the wilderness, giving them everything they needed. There's the example in 2 Kings of the widow woman who had nothing and owed creditors who were going to come and take her two sons away to be slaves, and she was completely taken care of. There are so many stories that inspire us. There's also Jesus turning the water into wine at a wedding when they ran short. And you know, Mary Baker Eddy did something similar one time, actually. She was living in Concord, New Hampshire, and there was a dry spell, no rain for a whole month. And the local farmer who delivered the milk to her home mentioned to the cook of her household that his water well was empty and his cows were beginning to go dry. When Mrs. Eddy was told about this, she said, oh, if he only knew love fills that well. Love, in this case, is another name for God. So she was saying God fills his well. Well, he came back the next day and told the cook that he found his well full of water that morning, and there had been no rain to fill it. So, you see, it's not just in the Bible times that God does amazing things, whatever's necessary to take care of us. And that incident, by the way, can be found in the book Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Healer, Amplified Edition, on page 177. But as I was saying, the Bible really contains the inspiration that we need. Again, you know, Mary Baker Eddy, she discovered the deep spiritual meaning of the Scriptures. And so for me, that her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, has just opened up the Bible to really be able to see it in its practicality and to see that the laws that were utilized in the Bible that Jesus was showing us are things that we can actually put into practice in our own lives, which, again, I've been doing this all my life. I've been practicing these rules and laws that I find in the Bible that Mrs. Eddy made so clear in her book and in her other writings, frankly, just exactly how we can turn to God, how we can pray. She's got a chapter in there specifically on prayer. Now, the whole book really talks about how to pray about things, how to turn to God. And I've just studied that book for years and years and years to understand better those laws and those rules and how to apply it in my human experience. And I have found that it works. It works. And that's what Jesus was showing us. And so we can follow his teachings, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. To follow what he said there is really enough to really succeed, to have abundance, to live a happy and satisfying life. Just those three chapters, actually, if nothing else.
Well, Mark, really very helpful ideas. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Rita.
I've been speaking with Mark Unger, a Christian Science practitioner from Boise, Idaho. And thanks for listening to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.